This is Divorce Happy Hour, a show about divorce and issues people face going through divorce. Your co-hosts are Christina Previtt and John Knocklinger. For more information about the show and to connect with us, head over to divorcehappyhour.com. And now, on to today's show.
Hey, everybody. It's Friday again, and you know what that means. 12:30's Divorce Happy Half Hour. I know you've all been waiting. I'm your co-host, Christina Previtt.
I'm John Knocklinger, and Friday also means tomorrow is Saturday.
That's right. It's Saturday Eve.
Oh, absolutely. It's time for the work week to be over. And I know all of you agree that that is the best part of Friday.
Yeah. Well, so what we want to talk about today, we're going to do a quickie today. So we're not going to do like a whole half hour because we have some things and other obligations that we have today, but we're going to make this quick. The thing we want to talk about today is something that keeps coming up again and again and again. And I'm constantly hearing people say, well, I want to get a divorce and I guess I should just go file a complaint, right? Like people have somehow gotten this idea in the community that you start a divorce by filing a complaint. And it makes sense. I get why people think that. But as divorce practitioners and people who have been doing this a long time, almost 20 years, let me explain to you really what that does. A complaint for divorce initiates a court action. That's all it does. You file something with the court, you get a docket number, and then you have to serve it on the other party so that they know that there is some type of court proceeding happening. That's how I can put it in the simplest terms. But a divorce is really so many other things. It's settling all issues, and then it's actually doing the court stuff to get you legally divorced. And I'm, again, putting that in the simplest terms that I possibly can. Do you have anything to add to that, Sean?
No, I mean, that's pretty much what it is. I just think it's really interesting out there, all of our colleagues, how many people will tell, you know, non-attorneys that come to them, you know, this is what you have to do. You have to file something with the court because that's the only way we start your divorce action. And it's so wrong for so many people because immediately a whole host of things start to occur once you enter the court system. You know, we all know that court systems are part of government. And government, what is government? Bureaucracy. And because of that, there's a lot of paperwork that has to be done that really doesn't move your life along. It doesn't move your divorce along. And so people get too caught up on this process and they get on this, probably on the, you know, like, I don't know, train track, and they start moving. And the destination is so far in the future and the train moves so slowly. And really, if you just, and we're, this is what we're gonna talk about today, if you just really sit down and think about what a divorce is and the fact that you need to resolve, you know, custody, support, division of assets, and if you look at it from the standpoint of that's where you're going, that's the destination, a lot of times you can bypass a large part of that train track and get on the train track right next to the finish line and only be on the train track for like a month or two and not spend all this money. So that's really what we're talking about today.
I sort of think of filing complaint like, I don't know what you call it, but you know, when you set up dominoes and then, you know, you just kind of flick the first domino and then it knocks down all the other dominoes. It's kind of like that. And once you file the complaint, that's really what happens is there's this whole domino effect and you can't stop it because once the court gets involved, the court runs everything like a business. Okay. There's not some judge, you know, sitting around thinking about, you know, what can I do to help this family? I wish it was like that, but it's just not. Their job is to make the limited amount of decisions that they're forced to make and to move your case along so that it gets off their docket. That's all they really care about. So settling the case in a way that is fair and, you know, in a way that you can both live with and a way that you think is most beneficial for your children, that lies with you. It doesn't lie with anybody else. So that's why we always recommend that when we get a new client, let's not immediately start by filing a complaint. Now, that said, there are some occasions when you do actually need to file a complaint right away. And the one, the couple that come to mind for me are if you are in a situation where you would be paying alimony and you are about to reach 20 years on your marriage. If you are about to reach 20 years on your marriage, you want to make sure you file a complaint before you reach the 20 years. Because in New Jersey, if you've been married for 20 years, that triggers the possibility of open durational alimony. Okay. So that would be one reason. Another reason would be you need to end, you know, officially end from a legal perspective, the marriage. So a marriage is measured by the date of the marriage to the date that the complaint for divorce is filed. So another occasion you might need to make sure that ends is, let's say you're about to get a huge bonus or a new job where you're getting some kind of signing bonus. Or, you know, there's something happening with money where you're about to get a large sum of money. And I also want to caution people that there are some distinctions. And again, I'm not trying not to get really far into the weeds and really just give you an example. But if you get a bonus or something like that, if it's money that is paying you for past performance, filing a complaint isn't going to do anything for you. If it's for past performance, it's already considered marital property. Your spouse is, you know, going to share in it in some way. But if it's something for future performance, like sometimes stock options are there to guarantee that you stay with the company. So it's for future performance. Or if you're starting a new job and you're getting a signing bonus, that's really for future performance. On that occasion, you would probably want to file a complaint so that it ends the marriage and that your spouse can't really have any legitimate claims to that money. So those are the two examples that I can really think of. There might be a few others, but they're very limited. And can you think of any others, John?
No, I mean, listen, you're going to want to try to resolve things before you have to file a complaint. But sometimes you have to file a complaint to encourage the other side to just want to participate in these discussions. So sometimes if we're filing something with the court, it's really to sort of entice the other side to wake up. And in those situations, the reason I say that is, like, let's say you have a pension and your pension continue, the marital portion of your pension continues to accrue every month that you're married. With the other side sort of just dragging you along saying, oh yeah, I want to talk about resolving this, but they don't actually take any steps to participate in that conversation. Sometimes you want to protect yourself by filing the complaint for all the reasons you just said, but also just so that the other side knows there's no benefit to continuing to delay anymore. The marital estate's done. He or she is not going to get any more of a pension, a 401k. They're not going to get any more of any of these other things. So there's really no reason to delay anymore. But really, I would say for 95% of people, there is no reason to file a complaint.
Yeah.
And furthermore, you can agree that your marriage is over as of a specific date without filing a complaint. So really, you know, we hear arguments all the time. Attorneys will tell us, oh, well, we have to file the complaint to end the marriage. No, you don't. You can sign something. You and your spouse can sign something agreeing that as of March 17th, 2023, for all legal purposes, our marriage is over. And then you can take your time to try to, you know, settle everything before you get the court involved. Because once the court's involved, I mean, I'd estimate that you're going to pay probably 20 to 30% more just by opening a court case without an agreement than if you just enter the court with an agreement. It's a huge difference. And I don't think people really understand how significant the cost difference is. Because quite frankly, if you have an agreement, only one person needs to file something. The other person doesn't actually have to file a pleading. And a pleading is, this is the initiation. Like the way we initiate something is called a complaint. That's called a pleading. And then the other person, if there's no settlement agreement, you don't have anything that you've signed, the other person has to file something to participate in the proceeding. and that's called cancer.
It's basically the dominoes again.
Yeah, like, it's the dominoes. Yeah.
Like, without getting into the weeds, there's this whole list of things that you have to do when you file a complaint if you don't have already a signed settlement agreement. So you're not solving anything for yourself by running off and filing a complaint because you think that, oh, this is what's going to get the divorce rolling. It's not what's going to get the divorce rolling. So, and I would also tell people that if you go to an attorney and their approach to your case, unless, again, as I've said, there's a really specific reason why you need to file a complaint to protect yourself, but to just do it as a matter of course, because, you know, it's just part of the script and it's what we do, be very concerned that that attorney is, you know, not really looking closely at your case and, you know, what is the best way to handle this for you and your family. It shouldn't be cookie cutter. Your attorney shouldn't be doing the exact same thing with everybody that walks in his or her office. And if they always start every case with a complaint, that's probably what they're doing. And you should expect that your case is going to take a long time and it's going to cost a lot of money.
Let's not forget that a lot of attorneys, that's a big billing event for a lot of attorneys, just at starting a case. So, you know, they get your retainer. You know, we say usually it's like $5,000 or more. They get your retainer, and there is this desire for most attorneys to try to do some immediate billing that starts to use some of the money that you gave them. And so one of the things that can be done right off the bat is filing a complaint right off the bat, because that's a lot of billing for a lot of attorneys. Now, I'm not saying attorneys are doing this for an improper purpose. I mean, if you're going to get divorced, you have to enter the court system at some point. You have to. But I think, Christine, you're absolutely right. If they tell you this is the way it's done, this is just the way it's done, it's not the way that it has to be done. And if anyone's telling you, well, this is the way I always do it, why don't you go to somebody else or go talk to somebody else and say, well, what about in my circumstances, in my life? What do you think we should do here? If someone just says, this is how I do it in every case, I'm with you, Christina. Like, that is not the person you want representing you. It's like, would you go to somebody who, I don't know, you were going to get a nose job or something, and they just tell you, well, this is the same process I use on every single person, no matter what your nose looks like. No, you wouldn't go to that person. You would go to somebody who's going to be like looking at your specific nose and exactly how it should be done in your specific circumstances. Just because it's not surgery doesn't mean you should have any less of an expectation with a divorce. It's your life. It's your life, your money, your kids. It's so important. It should be tailored to your circumstances.
Yeah. And if you ask an attorney, you know, who you may be consulting with, like, you know, what specifically is the reason that I need to file a complaint like right now? If they don't really have a very specific response for you, and it's just kind of generally like, well, you know, this is just how we do it. And, you know, you have to file something with the court to get a docket number and that sort of thing. And it doesn't seem to be like any real reason, like, well, why don't I personally have to do this right now? If it's not something specific like, oh, because you're about to be 20 years married or because you're getting a bonus next week or something like that, I would be really careful about how you're proceeding with that attorney, because to me, they might be a one-trick pony and they just do every divorce exactly the same way and you're going to spend a ton of money. And that actually reminds me of something else that is sort of indicative of a one-trick pony that I think we should talk about next week, which is discovery. And to just give you like one or two sentences on that, everybody does not have to do all this full-blown discovery in every case where they do, you know, exchange documents and they do case information statements and they do interrogatories and all this stuff. And if you even know what any of those things are, I suspect you might be in one of those right now, but you don't need to do this, you know, document exchange that takes months and months and months. Some attorneys will tell you that you have to do that. You don't have to do that. And don't let anybody tell you that you have to do that. And next week, we'll explain to you what exactly all of that is, when you should do it, when you don't really have to do it, and you know, answer any questions you might have about that. So if you do have questions about it, why don't you DM us? You can go to Instagram or Facebook at Get Happy Divorce. Send us a question. Of course, we will not reveal your identity, but we'll incorporate that into our discussion next Friday. What do you think, John?
I am so excited about this conversation next week. I can barely contain myself. But you're right. I mean, it's like, it is really something that, again, is cookie cutter. And again, it's a big billing event for attorneys. And again, I'm not disparaging our colleagues, but all of these things we're talking about that are just, this is how it's done, they also involve a lot of billing opportunities for attorneys to charge you fees to do these things. So yeah. We just want you to know what you should or should not be looking for in terms of what you have to do. And that's what we're really talking about. What has to be done to get you the result you want, which is you want to be divorced. That's the result. What do you actually need to do to get there?
All right. Well, there you have it. We have done our, I guess this is divorce happy quarter hour today. So I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. You can always find us here on Facebook. Or if you're listening to this on our podcast, we always repurpose these for our podcast. I hope that you are all getting a lot of good information out of it. If there is a topic you want to hear about, please feel free to find us on the interwebs and send us a message, and we'll talk about what is of interest to you. But go find us at gethappydivorce.com or anywhere on social media at gethappydivorce. And we're happy to help you. We want to be here to support you as you think about divorce, go through divorce. And our mission at NetSquire is to take the stigma out of divorce so that people can leave unhappy marriages and go have a good, happy life. So with that, I hope you all do something fun this weekend. We'll see you next week, Friday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. For more information, check out divorcehappyhour.com. And please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.